Hello, this is Ian Berg with the Commercial News, dated Wednesday, July 11th, 2018. We'll start today's reading on the front page of the paper with the article headlined, "Oh, the Possibilities! Officials Excited Over Bressie Plans," by Jennifer Bailey. City and county officials are excited about the possibilities with some vacant downtown buildings since new owners have taken over ownership of Bressie Tower. Bressie owners Chris and Jerry Collins also own the Rick's Furniture Building and could be purchasing more buildings in the future. Chris is a former Danville resident who has returned to the area. He said during a telephone interview, they have a lot going on and he could be ready in about 3 weeks to make some public comments. "I have met with the Collinses and find their plans for Bressie very exciting. I also appreciate that they are looking not just at the building itself, but the ba downtown as a whole, and have some wonderful plans for accompanying amenities, which would be terrific to see," Mayor Scott Eisenhower said. "They also plan to address the concerns with the exterior of the building very quickly, which we are happy to see completed. We believe they have a plan which would be a great boost for not only downtown, but the city as a whole, and we are hopeful they have the financial resources to make it a reality," Eisenhower added. Vermilion County Board Chairman Mike Maron echoed those thoughts. "I've met with him one-on-one in my office, and also with the mayor at City Hall," Maron said about Chris Collins. "He's kind of briefly discussed his plans and his vision for what he'd like to do with the tower and the former courthouse annex, and some kind of development," Maron said. Maron said Collins has talked about a potential hotel in Bressie and using the annex as part of the complex, such as for meeting and conference rooms. "The county would like to see some big development downtown," he said. Maron adds, however, they have to be cautious and make sure taxpayers are protected. "We want to see a detailed plan and the financial backing that makes sure this can get done," he said. Maron said the county is using the courthouse annex building adjacent to Bressie Tower for basement storage. He said the county is working with the state to properly dispose of and keep as needed old records. Some of the records date back 100 years. Maron said they'll work through the process. They then hope to give away or sell the annex for a nominal amount for development. If that's not able to happen, the annex would be torn down," he added. Restoration of the Bressie Tower had been on hold by former owner Scotty Porter, executive director of Historic Renovations Incorporated of Alabama, due to a lawsuit filed by the city against the company owning Bressie. The city had been pursuing a more adequate protective system to protect pedestrians and the motoring public from more frequently and higher falling debris and/or begin remediation of the exterior problem. Historic Restorations is the parent company of former Bressie Tower owner Land Company of Danville. According to Eisenhower, the city's legal action has always been and continues to be against the corporation, not the individual owner of the tower. At this time, to our knowledge, the Collinses own only the building and are not affiliated with the corporation in any way. There is no immediate plan to terminate the lawsuit against the corporation, but we will review which components of the suit are still in question. We continue next with the article, "Board OKs Amended Agreement," by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. Danville Community Development Director David Schnell said the city is at a place where the H&L landfill on Greenwood Cemetery Road could be closed. "This is the first step in this process," Schnell told the City Council's Public Works Committee Tuesday night. The committee recommended authorizing a second amendment of the H&L consent decree to allow for the temporary shutdown of the leachate collection system according to the revised operation and maintenance manual approved by the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency. The full City Council will act on the resolution next week. Resident Jeff Houn, who lives on Greenwood Cemetery Road, voiced some concerns, including about possible runover going onto private land, such as with heavy rain and snow. "The H&L landfill has been a big thorn in our side for many, many years," Houn said. Schnell said the EPA also has had Houn's similar questions. and the city will be meeting EPA requirements and if any problems occur from the observation points. They have to start back up the leachate collection system. The amendment allows for a trial period shutdown of the landfill leachate collection system. Schnell said they've been working on this for more than 5 years. H&L landfill remediation efforts have been regulated and amended under a consent decree between the state and the city since 1991. An engineering study has indicated the city isn't pumping leachate through its leachate collection system, but is likely only pumping groundwater and infiltrated stormwater. Also Tuesday, the committee discussed ongoing garbage truck issues and proposed purchases of new trucks coming to the full city council next week. In other business, the committee recommend approving a $334,948 contract with Cross Construction for sanitary sewer lining. Schnell said there was only one bidder. "It's about the right price," he said. They also recommended approving a $94,822 contract with Knight & Associates Surveying of Paris, Illinois, for construction engineering oversight for the Voorhees Bridge Replacement Project. The city is down at least one engineer. Schnell and Mayor Scott Eisenhower said competition from the private sector, a shortage of engineers, the salary the city offers, and requirements for staff to live in the city pose challenges to attracting engineers to the city. They also approved budget amendments of $19,400 for the semi-annual installments to repay the landscape maintenance equipment lease purchase for Harrison Park Golf Course, and $90,000 for a total of $140,000 for the sewer televising contract due to the sanitary sewer fund having insufficient funds. We go now to the article, Students Want to Get Ahead, by Brianna Kirkham. Danville. Prior to Tuesday's Vermilion County Board meeting, students of the Getting Ahead Life Skills class met with board members for a mentorship program centered around community. "People of all walks of life think their government doesn't listen to them," County Board Chairman Mike Marin said. "It is my belief that everyone in here, County Board, cares." The class is offered by the Danville Housing Authority and Danville Area Community College for public housing residents to receive college credit. One student spoke up about an intense mold problem in her home she said her landlord was not addressing. Nancy O'Kane represents District 8 on the county board and previously served on the city council. She told the student afterward to find out who her alderman is to resolve the issue. O'Kane met with her after the lesson to give her advice on how the process would work. DACC instructor Carla Boyd leads the Getting Ahead class and said she didn't want this meeting to be just a one-shot deal. Instead, she wants her students to remain engaged. "In the Getting Ahead class, we talk a lot about getting a seat at the table. Thank you for opening up your table," she said to the board. The class stayed to listen in on the county board meeting. The board approved a resolution to adopt a new security technology for the county administration building, formerly the federal court building, at 201 North Vermilion Street. The resolution reads, "Bids for such technology were received, and it appears that the most responsible bid has been identified as from Johnson Control Incorporated. It has been selected by the Technology Services Department as the best solution. This digital technology includes more than 50 cameras and recording devices, which will be located in common areas of the building. The projected cost of the system, located out of Peoria, is $27,116.24. There is an optional $3,361 yearly maintenance cost. About 10 other vendors were considered in the bid process, the highest of which would have cost $57,250, and the lowest, an analog non-digital system, would have cost $15,875. There is a full-time deputy at the county building who patrols the area and will review the security footage. Also on Tuesday, the board approved a resolution for the Deferred Compensation Program agent. Carla Gifford has been hired as the new agent. Approved an ordinance to the combined annual budget towards capital improvements. Decommissioning the courthouse annex building, where county administration was previously housed, will require each department to search through file records to decide what to dispose of, keep, or digitize. Marin said there are some records that are more than 100 years old. This ordinance approves hiring part-time workers to aid with the process. The board also approved an election judge certification. The county is about 20 election judges short. Tax and Election Committee Chairman Tom Morse said he thinks it may be because Vermilion County pays less than many other counties. The board also approved an ordinance to amend the combined annual budget to pay for an independent audit for the county's regional education department. The state of Illinois is now requesting all regional offices to find and pay for independent audits on their own. Still on the front page, we'll now go to the article, Big Bad Brings Kids Together, by Brianna Kirkham. Danville. Audience members of The Big Bad Musical will get the final say in how this story ends. DLO Musical Theater's youth production follows the Big Bad Wolf's day in court, where he is charged with a class action lawsuit for crimes allegedly made against the three little pigs, the boy who cried wolf, Little Red Riding Hood, and her granny. After both the prosecution and defense make their respective cases, the audience, serving as the jury, will decide the wolf's fate. Of course, musical numbers are sprinkled throughout the courtroom drama. Director Jody Prosser-Muller helped choreograph the show alongside Andrea Troxell and Brandon Parks. DLO board president Heather Miyagi said the music and dancing represent styles from the 50s, as well as gospel and country genres. Chase Ogle, 13, portrays the wolf and thinks his character has an attitude like Elvis, mixed with Beetlejuice and Scar from The Lion King. "He's very kooky and cartoony," Ogle said. The wolf is seen as a typical mean bad guy, but it's not so black and white. That's the moral of the story. The wolf has to go up against the fairy godmother, played by Misty White, in court, who is representing Red, the pigs, and the boy. White, 12, says her character isn't how she appears in Cinderella. "Her sweetness is a facade," she said. White added that the story explains how people who become bad are often influenced by outside circumstances. "It gives you a better understanding of other people," she said. Almost 40 kids, ages 5 to 16, from Vermilion County and beyond, are involved in the show, acting, singing, and dancing. Prosser-Muller said a lot of them came up with their own characters. "Kids innately trust the director, but I still encourage them to ask questions or give input," she said. The director of 30 years said she likes this musical because it gives everyone room to be creative, while allowing them to get equal stage time. "There's something about watching a kid catch the theater bug," she said, describing the joy of watching a shy kid finally make eye contact with an adult for the first time. "It does so much for them on and off stage." Daya White, 10, plays one of the three pigs and said, "What is probably the most important reason why community members should come watch the show. It's nice to watch people doing what they love." The cast includes Amanda Brown, Miley Ellis, Christine Reed, Misty White, Marley Harper, Michaela Whaling, Abby Hogg, Olivia Cronkite, Chase Ogle, Hannah Schroeder, Aubrey Ellison, Polly Norton, Isaiah Brown, Lucy Morris, William Runnan, Briley Tomko, Daya White, Adrian Rivera, Byron Bourne, Madison Watson, Hayden David, Paige Norton, Trent Adam, Tyler Adam, Angelina Anderson, Ava Bryans, Addison Ellis, Ariana Hari, Ava Harper, Jillian Miller, Bryn Ogle, Harley Peralt, Lorenzo Skinner, Lillian Spaulding, Erez Valdez, and Amber Wilburn. The show is playing at 7 p.m. on July 12th through 13th, 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. on July 14th at the St. James United Methodist Church at 504 North Vermilion Street. Tickets are $10 for adults and $5 for students. We'll go now to the article, Three Charged After Chase Ends in Fiery Crash, Danville. three men have been charged in a weekend chase with Danville police that ended with the suspects crashing their vehicle into a pole and it catching fire. Three of the four men found in the vehicle were later arrested and charged with various weapons violations in Vermilion County Circuit Court on Monday. At 6:03 p.m. Saturday, a Danville police officer saw a gold-colored vehicle commit a traffic infraction in the area of Stroop Street and Main Street. But when the officer tried to stop the vehicle, the driver accelerated away, according to a news release from Danville Police Commander Josh Webb. A vehicle pursuit began and continued to the area of Main and Kansas Streets, where the driver lost control. The vehicle struck a utility pole and came to a stop on Main. Officers removed the driver and three passengers from the vehicle just before the vehicle erupted into flames, according to police. During a follow-up investigation, officers located a handgun at the scene of the crash. All four men were treated by medical personnel, taken to a local hospital for evaluation, and after getting cleared by the medical personnel, all four were taken to the Danville Public Safety Building for questioning. After further investigation, the following subjects were taken into custody on various charges, according to Webb. The driver, 22-year-old Jeremy S. Foreman of Danville, was charged with aggravated fleeing and eluding, reckless driving, and driving while license suspended. A passenger, 21-year-old Dakota A. E. Patton of Danville, was charged with aggravated unlawful use of a weapon. And another passenger, 28-year-old Kevin Marshall of Danville, was charged with aggravated unlawful use of a weapon by a felon and had an outstanding parole warrant from the Illinois Department of Corrections. Marshall had been released from prison earlier this year. In 2016, he pleaded guilty to second-degree murder in the May 21, 2013, fatal shooting of Latifa D.L. Cross of Chicago at a house on Danville's Moore Street. In that plea agreement on October 2016, he was sentenced to 6 years in prison, but was given credit for the more than 3 years he had served in jail awaiting trial. The fourth person in the vehicle was an 18-year-old Danville man, who was initially taken into custody but later released, police said. We'll now go to the death notices on page 3A. Frank Cross Jr., 44, of Danville, passed away Saturday, July 7th, at his home. A graveside service for Frankie will be held at 2 p.m. on Friday, the 13th, at Sunset Memorial Park. Jean L. Kinney, 81, of Bismarck, passed away on July 9th. A celebration of life service will be at 10 a.m. on Friday, July 13th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation will be 4 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, July 12th, at the funeral home. Memorials can be made to the American Cancer Society or Camp Kesem, a camp that children who have parents affected by cancer can attend at no cost. Richard Rich Land, 72, of Chrisman, passed away on Sunday, July 8th. A celebration of Rich's life will be at 10 a.m. on Saturday, July 14th, at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home in Georgetown. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. on Friday, July 13th, at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest in Friends Chapel in Scotland. Memorial donations may be given in his name to Ridge Farm Fire Department. Michael Eugene Thomas, 65, of Calvert City, Kentucky, formerly of Ridge Farm, Illinois, passed away on Wednesday, June 27, 2018. A memorial service will be at 3 p.m. Saturday, July 14th, at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home in Georgetown. Visitation will be from 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturday prior to his service at the funeral home. Per his wishes, he was cremated, and burial will be held at a later time at Danville National Cemetery. Memorials may be made in his honor to American Legion Donblazer Post 203 in Georgetown, Illinois. Mary Jane Smith, 87, passed away on July 8, 2018. A celebration of Mary's life will take place at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. At 6 p.m. on Thursday, July 12th, burial will take place at Sunset Memorial Park. Visitation will be from 4 to 6 p.m. on Thursday prior to the service at Sunset. Memorials may be made to Gideon's International or Pleasant Grove Bible Chapel. C.J. Newell, 76, passed away on Wednesday, July 4th, 2018. A homegoing celebration will commence at noon on Thursday, July 12th at Mount Zion Word of Life on Fairchild Street in Danville. Visitation will be from 1 to 5 p.m. on Wednesday, July 11th at Leek and Sons Funeral Home and 11 a.m. until the time of service Thursday at the church. Donald C. Stevens, 74, of Fairmount, passed away on Saturday, July 6, 2018. Memorial service will be at 7 p.m. on Friday, July 13th, at Robinson Chapel in Catlin. Private family burial will be in Greenview Cemetery at Fairmount. Visitation is from 5 to 7 p.m. on Friday at Robinson's Chapel in Catlin. Memorials in Donnie's memory to Fairmount United Methodist Church. Kimberly Ann Washkowiak, 39, of Georgetown, Illinois, passed away on Friday, July 6th. Funeral service is at noon on Thursday, July 12th, at Robinson's Chapel in Catlin. Burial in Oak Hill Cemetery in Danville. Visitation from 11 a.m. to noon on Thursday, July 12th, at Robinson's Chapel in Catlin. Ruth Ann Hardin, 90, of Deer Park, Texas, formerly of Tilton, Illinois, passed away on January 1st, 2018. A Celebration of Life Memorial Service will be at 11 a.m. on Saturday, July 14th, in the Fellowship Hall of Catlin Church of Christ on Vermilion Street in Catlin, Illinois. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be made to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Ernest E. Ernie Meador, 85, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away on Saturday, July 7th, 2018. A service to celebrate Ernie's life will be at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, July 11th, at Dawson and Wyckoff North Chapel in Decatur. The family will receive friends for visitation beginning at 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning until service time. Burial will be in the Mount Zion Township Cemetery in Mount Zion, with military honors provided by the Macon County Honor Guard and the U.S. Navy Honors Team. Memorials may be directed to Imboden Creek Living Center. Lillian May Swearingen, 94, of Catlin, passed away on Saturday, July 7, 2018. A celebration of life service will be at 3 p.m. on Friday, July 13th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Visitation will be prior to the service from 1 to 3 p.m. at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be made to the Wounded Warrior Project. Latrae Reed, 21, of Danville, passed away on Thursday, July 5, 2018. Funeral services will be at noon on Friday at Saints Synagogue on Main Street in Danville. Burial will be in Spring Hill Cemetery in Danville. Visitation will be from 3 to 6 p.m. on Thursday and from 11 a.m. to noon on Friday at the church. For some additional local news, we'll now go to the article, Water Main Break Affects Customers, Danville. Work on a water main Tuesday has caused a precautionary boil water order for only customers in the affected area of Voorhees Street. According to Aqua Illinois Area Manager Bob Irvin, the city's contractor was working on the Voorhees Bridge project on Monday and was moving one of Aqua's fire hydrants, which was in conflict with a city storm tile. Detour road work prior to the bridge replacement project has been occurring along Rogers and May Streets. While shutting down the water service to do the work, a water main break occurred there, according to Irvin. Aqua scheduled the repair for Tuesday, and the work was completed and the water was back on. Irvin said customers in the affected area, including the Humane Society and Stoney's Restaurant, were notified in advance on Monday. Customers in the affected area were notified of a precautionary boil water for a minimum of 24 hours. We continue next with the article, Oakwood Seeks Drainage Project Bids, by Carol Rome. Oakwood. The Oakwood Village Board on Monday approved collecting bids by the end of the month for the Stormwater Drainage Improvement Project on Finley Street. Oakwood Mayor Clay Woodard said the village hopes to open bids by the middle of August. In the meantime, work on a proposed Speedway gas station that would be located on the east side of Oakwood Road, south of the pit stop, is in a holding pattern. He said Speedway plans to build the gas station during the Stormwater Improvement Project. Also on Monday, the village board heard a request from resident Becky Lowe to vacate a right-of-way along an extension of Green Street that borders her property. They heard a request from Cody Clem to open a meat shop on his property on the southwest side of the village. Woodard said the village board is going to do some research before giving its decision. The board heard a report from trustee Bob Parr that the village's 4th of July festivities drew 3,000 to 4,000 people. "We're very pleased with the turnout," Woodard said. "It was a very successful day." The board also approved spending up to $5,000 to detail and decal the emergency rescue's new Chevy ambulance. We'll go now to a few local announcements in the community briefs section. In Danville, Kiwanis to meet. Kiwanis Noon Club will meet at 11:45 a.m. on Thursday in the community room of Old National Bank at 2 West Main Street. Kathy Swedler, consumer economics educator, will speak about the Money Mentors program. Church plans bash. Bethel Lutheran Church at 901 West Fairchild Street will host the Bethel Bash from 2 to 4 p.m. on Saturday. There will be free hot dogs, chips, and drinks, children's games, and face painting and temporary tattoos. The community is invited. Breakfast scheduled. The Knights of Columbus at 310 Bryan Avenue will serve an all-you-can-eat breakfast from 7:30 to 11 a.m. on Sunday. Cost will be $7.50 for adults and $3.50 for children 12 and under. All are welcome. Georgetown. Entry sought. The Georgetown Fair seeks entries of plants and flowers for the fair's floriculture department. Entry day is 3 to 8 p.m. on August 3rd. Visit www.georgetownfair.com for information. Fairmont. Library plans event. The Vance Township Library will host Hysterical Avenue, Fairmont Murder Mystery at 5 p.m., Saturday at the fire station. Library board members and staff members serve as suspects in this humorous murder mystery. There's no charge, but donations will be accepted. Refreshments will be served. Potomac. Legion plans meal. Harry Carpenter American Legion Post 428 at 101 North Grand Street plans a fish and chicken fry for 4:30 to 7 p.m. on Saturday at the post. That's about all the time we have for today's reading. This has been Ian Berg with the Danville Commercial News, dated Wednesday, July 11th, 2018. Thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to reading with you again.